And live. Episode 48 here of the Bacon Smiles podcast. As always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend,
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Man, all right, so we had a little bit of technical difficulties that we're not going to go into, but no, that's why
we're off the
wanted
ground.
To make sure that we're going live and I'm not screaming because my daughter's sleeping.
She'll look like she is on the Instagram post you just put up.
I know. So it's been a few weeks since we last spoke to you guys, and that was because Evan went to Ireland.
I escaped for a couple days.
So we're going to talk about that, definitely. Since our last podcast, Easter happened.
Easter happened.
I've had class and youth group, and I talked to the eighth graders at St. Teresa of Calcutta, and you know, you got music we'll go over.
Absolutely.
Saint of the day is Blessed James Aldo. And the reading for today is John 6, 35 through 40. That's a pretty great scripture. We were reading it before we started. And then, of course, you've got News of the Weird.
Can't forget that.
All right, so let's get right into it. How was your Easter?
It was really nice. I ended up going over to Jen's parents for breakfast and just had a great time and got to see the parents as well, my parents. And ended up working in the afternoon, but it was nice. We were still able to see everyone and,
that's cool,
and have some laid-back time as well.
Awesome.
How about you?
Yeah, it actually worked out really well. Normally we do dinner at the Piggott's, and Eva normally does her family stuff the day before. Mm. But this year, because her grandmother is in a convalescing home, they did Easter with her the day before at the convalescing home, but then still wanted to do family dinner at her parents' house. So we did that, but I also was still able to go to the Piggott's in the morning. And so it was awesome. The whole day was great. And got to hang out with the Piggott's and bring Buster over there and Zoe. And it was just awesome, you know, start off the day with some nice brunch.
Right. Now, did you take advantage of the fact that it was April Fool's at all? Did you play any jokes?
No.
No?
definitely a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
But, how about you?
I got in a little bit of trouble because of my prank that I did on April Fool's. Yeah.
What'd you do?
So I knew I was in trouble just planning this, but basically I found a way. I had it Easter related. I found online, thanks to the internet, I could buy Easter eggs in bulk, the plastic eggs. So I end up buying these Easter eggs, got the, you know, the reindeer.
When you say bulk, what do you mean? What's the number here?
1,000. So, you know, around Christmas time when people get the antlers and the red nose for their cars? Yeah. Well, they have the Easter bunny nose and the Easter bunny ears.
Okay.
So it takes me several days to set this up because the nose and the ears were fine, but the eggs were sent disassembled. So
they had to like clip them together.
So I screwed it up so badly because I had to do this while she was out of the house and assemble all these eggs.
Yeah,
and then finally, the night before Easter Vigil, she goes to bed.
Yeah,
I said I'm just gonna go clean out my car a little bit. She's like, oh, okay. Yeah. So I go out and I grab her keys and I go to open the door and the alarm goes off. and I'm like, shoot, I gotta cancel everything. So I close up my car doors, I quietly close her door, go upstairs. She goes, what were you doing near my car? And I said, nothing. I didn't do anything with your car, which was true. I didn't do anything.
You didn't lie.
But she says, don't act like I don't know what tomorrow is. And I said, Jen, I promise I didn't do anything. So she said, okay. So 6 o'clock in the morning, I get up. I said, I can't sleep. I got to get up. I'm going to go have some breakfast. So she goes, okay.
Yeah.
So I go out and I dump all these, you know, Easter eggs in the back of her car. I did tuck some blankets underneath the seat to make sure nothing rolled underneath and could.
So did you go sunroof open? Does she have a sunroof?
She doesn't have a sunroof. Oh, okay. I ended up opening up a side door away from the house and just going through this box and grabbing armfuls and just tossing them in. So I'll have to share the picture on Twitter.
Okay.
But basically, I get the whole thing filled up and then left a little note on the door saying, Jen, thank you for letting me borrow your car last night. Sorry about the mess in the back seat. Signed, the Easter Bunny. So she's been in bed. I go back up, and she's like, hey. I said, hey, we should get down and get ready for brunch and everything. Yeah. So she goes, okay. So she comes down, sees the note on the door, and goes, what's this? So I'm reading it, and I'm trying to play along, but horribly, horribly.
She immediately knows what's going on.
No, what's going on? So she opens up the window, sees the nose and the ears on the car, goes, no. I said, but what's it talking about the back seat? So we go out, and there's this multicolored mess in the back seat. And she goes, you know, just dead silence, staring at me. And I knew I was in trouble. And I said, I'll clean it up. I'll clean it up. I'll take care of it. She goes, I can't believe you. And then she's walking away. So I go out with a box, and I'm trying to... Now, this is where I'm realizing I'm really not that smart.
Yeah.
Our driveway's a hill.
A massive hill.
A massive hill. I open up the door. I'm trying to catch the eggs as they're...
just rolling down the whole driveway.
They're just cascading down the driveway. I'm running up and down, making... I got some good leg action out of this. So here's where it gets funny. Jen had planned out some, like, little get-back pranks on me that lasted throughout the whole week. So I come home from work. I kept the eggs in the back of my car. I was thinking, I'm not leaving these with her to give her an opportunity.
Yep.
So I get home. I go to bed. I fall down on the bed, and there's something underneath the pillow that hits me. So I look underneath. There's stuffed marshmallow Peeps. And I said, why on earth did you get these? She says, why on earth did you get 1,000 Easter eggs? So then the next morning I get up and I go in the bathroom. My toothpaste is missing. So I open up the medicine cabinet. There's like 15 little Swiss Army Men plastic characters lined up throughout the inside of the mirror. One's holding a sign saying, don't look behind you. So I look around, and Jen's staring through the doorframe, smiling, turns and slowly walks away. Later on, I go to get something out of the refrigerator. There's 15 more little army men in there. And I go, forget it. I go off to work, come back later on that day, open up the cabinet for a glass of water.
Yeah.
There's more in there. And she goes, yeah, I'm just trying to find little ways to keep reminding you throughout the week what you've put yourself up to. And so to wrap this story up, the next topic we were going to talk about was us going to Ireland.
Yeah.
And so we're in Ireland, and this is, you know, maybe a week and a half since Easter.
Yeah.
And we're walking around a town, and there's a lot of shops and restaurants. And as we're going through one area, she looks up and goes, oh, a joke shop. Evan, that's totally you. You got to check this place out. And you actually have to go upstairs for this thing. They had a little stairwell, kind of like a Main Street in Manchester thing.
Yeah.
So she goes, you got to check it out. So it's like, all right. So we go up, and it's this tight little winding stairwell going upside this this building. So I'm walking up, and we're joking up and down the stairs. I go, after like 5 flights of stairs, I go, you know what would be the ultimate joke about this joke shop?
Oh, it
doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so she's laughing. We get to the top. It's a bathroom. There's no joke shop in this building. I was like, this April Fool's thing just keeps coming back and biting me. So lesson learned. I'm probably going to not do anything next year.
That's great.
I learned.
So what day did you fly out to Ireland?
So we flew out Friday, April 6th, and then we came back the following Saturday afternoon. So we left actually around 2 from Dublin that next Saturday, and we came back around 4 o'clock local time here that afternoon. So.
Yeah, time traveling.
Yeah, absolutely. Stepped out of the DeLorean, and
So you flew into Dublin.
Yeah.
Aer Lingus
from Bradley International, is wonderful to be.
It's the only thing that makes it international. I'm pretty sure the Aer Lingus flight to Dublin is its only international flight. Yeah. So into Dublin. Right?
Into Dublin, we drove down to Killarney from there. Stopped in Limerick.
Okay.
So we went in the southwestern direction. Then we went north to County Clare, stayed in a castle there.
Oh, cool.
Which was really nice. And then we continued on the western border, went up to Galway.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that, we drove back over to Dublin and then flew out the following morning. Well, afternoon.
Did you when you were in Galway, did you hear like the stories of Galway, like it being like a port and like the original ruling family and like the old like hanging wall and stuff like that?
We didn't we didn't hear so much about that. We did see a nice little tribute garden for the men who rescued a lot of people during the famine and just loaded up, volunteered their time and their boats and just loaded people onto the boats to take them away so that they have a shot at survival.
Yeah.
So we saw that, and we also went downtown to the, I think it's Spanish Arch, where they have a lot of shops and restaurants and stuff like that. So it was nice, but we did do a lot of walking along the bay, which was beautiful, nice and sunny, palm trees, come back here, it's, they're sleet.
So, oh yeah, how was the weather the whole time you were
perfect.
There?
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah, that's which, awesome. Which, you know, apparently
you expect
never
some rain in Ireland, but there it rained like the first day. And for rain, it's mist. Like in Ireland, it's you don't get like what you get here.
We downpour. We only had, Eve and I went last May, and we didn't really get any rain. We had like, I think maybe one afternoon there was a little bit of mist, and then it was like beautiful the rest of the time. But yeah, everyone there was like, we never get this weather.
Right.
It's never
We're getting sunburned.
That's cool. How many days did you spend in Dublin?
We stayed there for 2 days when we arrived. Actually, two nights we stayed in Dublin. And then on the way back, we spent another night there. And then just dropped off the car before we got to the hotel and just walked around.
Nice. Any touristy things? What did you see?
Yeah, so we went to the Guinness Storehouse. Went to Trinity College, check out the Book of Kells.
Cool.
Which, this was Jen's first time going to Ireland. I've been there. I've been lucky to be able to go a couple times. So, but it was nice to go back now that I'm a little older and can remember some of these things.
Oh, yeah, cool.
But, yeah, went to that, and then we went
to... So you had your Guinness at the top of the world?
Yeah. So that was fun. And then we went to Dublin Castle and got to walk around in the courtyard area of that.
Yeah.
And then once we went to Limerick, there's a nice little walk-around hiking path along this body of water called Loughger. So we ended up going there, and then County Clare, we stayed at the castle, and then on the grounds they had falconry lessons, which I had never done, Jen had never done, so we said, let's give it a shot. And they actually don't train you with falcons because they drop so quickly they can actually injure or take your arm off.
Yeah.
So they gave us a hawk. And basically, we did this nature walk around the campus of this castle.
With a hawk?
With a hawk, yeah. A Harris hawk, 6 years old. Her name's Alice.
This bird of prey. Oh. And the two of you, like...
Right. Well, thankfully, she let go of our wrist before taking off. That could have ended poorly. But yeah, we just walk around. She'd fly up into the trees, and the trainer would put, like, a little piece of meat, like just a little ball of meat on our gloves, and then whistle, and the bird would come flying down and just do this nice little low drop and then swoop back up and land right on our wrist. And he would just remind us.
So you would just keep walking, and there'd be this bird of prey stalking you the whole time.
Pretty much. I mean, there were a few times you could see she was watching something in the woods because she'd just have her back to you and just be like... It would take a few whistles for her to come. Yeah. But the guy did remind us, make sure that you have your face away from your arm in case she misses.
Well, the really cool thing is, so you're talking about nature walks. And when we went to Blarney Castle, did you guys go to Blarney Castle?
We didn't get a chance to do that,
The grounds, just the beauty of the grounds around Blarney Castle and some of the other places we went were just awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's just beautiful, well-kept up grounds. And so being able to walk around and see that kind of stuff is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And being able to walk up to historical monuments. We went to the Bunratty Castle in County Clare. And it's, you have these things where it's like old Sturbridge Village where you can walk around and check out the different sites. But then you also have, you could be driving through this really off-the-road path and come up to a dolmen that's been there for hundreds and hundreds of years, and you can just walk right up to it. You know, there's no barrier around it, and no one's mistreated it.
No,
Which is remarkable for something that
thousands and thousands of ruins, you know, castle ruins and stuff like that. There's thousands of them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just because that's the history of the country. Saw you went to the Cliffs of Moher as well.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Yeah, and you've been before, but Jen has not.
Yeah, this was her first time, and she said, this is the Grand Canyon of Ireland. She said that a couple times, and she was just, it's funny because they really do try to make sure that you don't go too close to the sides of the cliff, because it's always eroding, but there's nothing that really stops you from...
Oh, once you were off of the, like... official grounds of the Cliffs of Moher.
Yeah.
There's paths that you know, there's signs that say, like, travel at your own risk. You are no longer part in the park.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Well, even when we were walking along, they had these tall, thin rocks that were just kind of a mm-hmm. little wall separating you from the edge. But people were stepping over it. They were getting selfies and everything, which is cool. But at the same time, it's a little nerve-wracking seeing some of the people go right to the edge.
Yeah.
So Jen went over because she says that she has a good amount of fear in her, but at the same time, I was still watching and going, okay.
Well, that's when you were there people past the barrier, like that started to climb down and they're out like...
Not climbing down, but standing pretty close to the edge where if they were any further back, their heel would be on the edge.
There were people... Like, so if you're coming and you're standing where the welcome center is.
Yeah.
Oh, the lookout tower.
Yeah.
They went past that. And up there, there's a couple of, like, plateaus where you can kind of climb down and go out onto these plateaus on the, like, peninsulas. Mm-hmm. And there are people down on those. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, how did you get there? How are you getting back? And what happens if you slip?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And even I were just, you know, super careful the whole time.
Right.
But no, it's just beautiful. And the law of the land where you can't build on the land, and that's why the Welcome Center is tunneled into the ground.
Right.
You know, you'd have to own the land that you there to four, five generations of your family. Like, so no one's ever going to build on
it. Right,
you know?
Right.
Which is just awesome. Yeah. Just because the beauty, like, when you drove, see, we took a lot of bus trips, but when you're just out there, and just the land, like, that was kind of the thing that I appreciated about being on a bus, because I had never been there either, was to be able to just sit back and enjoy the landscapes.
Yeah.
Now, did you go to the Obama presidential truck stop?
We did. That was funny, because I was looking on Google Maps, just kind of viewing the route to Limerick from Dublin.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, as I'm scrolling through, I see Obama stop, Barack Obama stop. And I'm going, what on earth?
It's the Barack Obama presidential truck stop.
Right. Because that was built in the town where he found out that he had ancestors from.
Yeah. And it's so, like, his fifth cousin removed is the owner actually of that gas station.
Oh, really? So he arrived and he ended up making this speech about it's great to be back home, and now I'm just trying to figure out where the apostrophe in my last name went.
Yeah.
You know, but we ended up stopping there, had lunch there on the way down to Limerick, and it was a fun little quirky place to stop at.
Yeah. But really nice actual, like, place to stop though.
Yeah.
You know?
Good food.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah.
What was Jen's experience? Because she
loved it. Yeah, she especially loved living. She wanted to live in the castle.
Okay.
It was hard getting her out of there. She was walking around everything in the room going, buy lamp, buy window.
Yeah.
This is my castle. I want to stay in it. And I said, honey, I don't think squatter rights are the same here in Ireland as they are in the States.
Yeah, well, that's the castle that we went to. Oh, why am I drawing a blank on it? But anyway, it was legitimately a private residence up until 1970s.
Oh, wow.
Like, we went and, you know, walked around it and everything like that. But the you know, eighth generation castle owner, she died in her 90s, and her family, like, sold it, and now it's a tourist attraction. But, like, 1970, it was still a person's home.
Right. Someone had the money to keep that.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, Ireland's just like an awesome, awesome place, you know?
So there's plenty of places we want to go back to once once we get the chance. Because there were a few things we wanted to go see, the Kylemore Abbey by Galway, but we didn't have the chance to see that. So there was that and a few other things too. So we went, well, there's plenty of opportunities to see other things in Ireland, so we'll have to plan another trip.
You know, I'm trying to track down like my ancestry because I think I mentioned this on the podcast before. So my grandmother's grandmother, she's like great grandmother, something like that. She was sent to America on her own at the age of 14.
Yeah.
And it was not the potato famine, and they were not an impoverished family. Her father was an attorney, and so they were pretty well off. She apparently needed to be shunned.
Oh!
there's a story there that just no one really knows, but yeah, she was sent. So, and that's it. And I know where she came from, what her siblings' names were, and stuff like that. And so when I was up, when I was there, I actually called. I got really great advice to call the county commissioner or whatever they call it there, and call there and ask for the person in charge of ancestry there, historian, the county historian. And so I put in an inquiry, but they did not get back to me in time while I was there, because I just didn't want to go to this random village and then not know where I'm going or what I'm doing in Northern Ireland. So, which apparently may become a hard border again with the whole Brexit thing. But anyway, that's what I'm looking forward to if I when we go back. Eva and I definitely want to go back.
Yeah, my mom's always researching that too, because she knew that she had relatives with the last name of Havy. But she thinks it might actually be Havy. But when they came through Ellis Island, the officials heard Havy and wrote it down that way.
Yeah.
And she would go around and ask a few people over to Ireland, hey, you know, have you heard anything about a family Havy? Or does that sound like that comes from any particular county? Yeah. Always hearing about these people causing trouble. And she heard at least once someone say, oh, they're probably just common horse thieves. Oh, okay.
Well, that's just so. I called the county historian, and I'm like, I know, you know, this family, and they're from Tartagan. And he's like, what? I'm like, it's like Tar again.
Yeah.
He's like, is that in this county? I'm like, it's on the map.
Yeah.
In your county? He goes, must be a small village. you're the historian for this county.
you just boosted my confidence in you.
But they actually did call me back, but I was already back in the States.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know, they were like, oh, you can come down. We, you know, we'll look through this stuff. And I'm like, I'm kind of in Connecticut.
Right? Yeah, it's a little bit of traveling for me.
But anyway, yeah, awesome.
Cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had class while you were in Ireland. Fancy.
Yeah, I did. I did see the post on Instagram.
Class was actually on the Saints, which is cool because you know we do the Saint of the Day here, and got to talk about a few saints. Get my class, my confirmation class, to pick out some saints that they really related to the stories. I have some saint books and stuff to go through. Who was your confirmation saint?
It was David.
David. Okay, classic.
Yeah.
Didn't go obscure.
No.
It's all right. No. I went with St. John.
There you go.
But yeah, it was cool to get, you know, get them talking about the saints and what makes a saint and stuff like that. And then I had youth group this past weekend, and it's fun to see the kids just have fun. And we played this game. It's called Monster in the Dark. And so you have one person who plays the monster, and it's like a game of tag. The rest of the team has to find a flashlight that has been completely disassembled and put it together before the monster tags them. So I hid this flashlight throughout the church, like the building, the classrooms and everything. And so they had to go find all these pieces, put a flashlight together, and then flash it at the monster in the dark before getting tagged. That was the only way to kill the monster. Otherwise, they had to sit down right where they got tagged, and there's no getting back. So it was fun. I had to keep putting rules on the monster that they couldn't run. They had to hop or crawl or stuff like that to make it like competitive, but it was fun and they had a blast. And, when do you have class?
So we actually have class this Sunday, and we're going to be doing the theme on Catholicism 101.
Oh, okay.
So a couple classes ago, I'm not sure if I mentioned this on a previous podcast, but I was introduced to the game Kahoot. I think we did bring that up. So we're gonna incorporate that into the class and just come up with a bunch of questions of in the Catholic Church, like what's a requirement of becoming canonized as a saint? Just do a bunch of things like that and then build the conversation off of that. So just have a little bit of fun with kids and their phones participating in the game.
Yeah.
And then we can just build the discussions off of that.
Yeah, it's a great way to get them interacting with each other, learn and stuff like that. And then when you're really creative and fun with the questions, because that's a great thing about a system like Kahoot is you can kind of make your own questions and work in what you want to work in.
And it makes a different approach too, because that way I'm not walking forward and just lecturing.
Yep.
It just turns it around and goes, all right, you're a part of this, you're helping lead the discussion, and then we can talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where when I was talking about confession and getting the kids to go to confession, you got to have that back and forth, and so when the class turned into something else, we're talking about the commandments, because all of a sudden it was like they're at an age now where they can fully understand it. Mm-hmm. Whereas when they're kind of just told these things and when you have to break it down into a different level, which is what's cool about going into Catholicism 101. Yeah. It's like, so this is what we actually believe. And here's some real life, instances where this is still true to this day. Like, you know what I mean? And that's what's cool about working with high schoolers, because you can get deeper into it than just like the basics.
Well, one thing I did in one of my classes was I started off with, okay, how many of you guys go to school and you're sitting there through the lesson and going, okay, well, this is cool, but how am I going to apply it to my life? And so many hands instantly went up. And I said, I love that, because this is why I enjoy teaching this class, because this is where you get to apply it to your life. This is where the rubber meets the road. And when you can get kids to think that way, I think it's, I shouldn't call them kids, but when you can get the
young
teenagers
people
thinking like that, I think it's more involving, and it makes it, at least for me, exciting.
Well, it's the things that make it fun. You got to relate it to them, and that's a big part of anything. Even with music, our next topic, actually, when artists, Christian artists, keep evolving with the music of today and they make it relevant and they're using very similar tunes, tones, and to the music as what's popular right now, but you have a much better message and you can draw people in and have a really good, message along with it. It doesn't need to be about money or whatever.
Right.
It can just be a true message about God, but it's still a catchy tune. It still kind of draws them in and stuff like that. But so what do you got in music?
Well, that was a very good segue, I gotta say. So last weekend, Ledger, who's was the band name of the drummer for Skillet, Jen Ledger, she just released a solo EP, and she's actually, they're going on tour. Skillet's going on tour with For King and Country. Wow. And Ledger is going to be opening up and then returning to the drums for Skillet. So
that's
going
to be a little elaborate tour.
Yeah.
Those two bands.
Oh, yeah. Together. A lot of pyro, a lot of jumping, a lot of
an
drums. if you're into Skillet, if you're into pop rock music, Ledger just put out a self-titled EP last weekend. This weekend, Jason Crabb has a new album coming out. And then April 27th, that's the following Friday, Sanctus Reel is releasing their first album with a new lead singer. It is called Changed. And if you remember Chris Sly from American Idol, he is putting out an album also that Friday called A Modern Liturgy.
Awesome. That's great. So,
yeah.
Awesome. We're going into the Bibble.
Bibble.
Some Bibble action.
Is that a Book of John?
Yeah, Book of John. John 6, 35 through 40, for those of you who follow along at home.
Jesus, moving very quickly.
Jesus said to the crowds, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I told you that, although you have seen me, you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me, because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I shall raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty straightforward.
There's definitely no, like, hidden.
Right.
there's not much of a hidden message there.
No.
But so powerful. Mm-hmm. Like,
just saying, I'm the messenger.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I love about this season in the gospel is, like, Jesus just coming out and I am who I am.
Right. In case you haven't noticed.
Yeah, like, him to say, whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Mm-hmm. Whoever comes to me shall never thirst. It's all these people who don't have Jesus that have that, like, urge to try to fill that hole. And they're trying to fill it with this stuff of this world, and you can't.
Right.
How many times myself I've fallen into that, where it's the strive to make more money, to, you know, fill monetary needs or whatever. It's just, I have to remind myself all the time, like, give it up to Jesus. Give it up to God. If I give it up to him, he's going to take care of me, you know? Well,
Pope Francis said something along those lines recently. I forget when this was, but I saw an article about it where he said, so many people label things as freedoms and say, oh, I'm free to do this, I'm free to do that, but they're really chains, you know, and we mistake them for freedoms and say, you know, we get caught up in these extracurricular things that are not of God.
Yeah.
In the way that we're using them.
Well, it's just, you have to reevaluate. Mm-hmm. You have to reevaluate what's important in life. And that's where it's like, the things that I used to think were important and the friendships I used to have that were very toxic, you know, in my life, and the people that I've just had to not talk to anymore because of their toxic nature and the things that, the darkness that they brought around me. You have to reevaluate and figure out who are your actual friends. Who are the people that God put into your life for a reason, you know? Because there's definitely that. There's definitely been so many dark times in my life where I've had God just introduce new friendships,
right,
introduce new opportunities for me, where I've had the opportunity to say yes. And then there's also the other ones where it's like, oh, this friendship doesn't do me any good. And I don't mean that in, like, that, in the sense where they don't do anything for me. Like, it's not a selfish thing, really. It's a thing of where it's like, this is not going to help me get to heaven.
Right.
This is not going to help me get my daughter to heaven. This is not going to help me get my wife to heaven. And when you have someone that in your life that can help, like, hurt you in a way that just poisons you and just brings you down, and you're quick to anger, you're quick to frustration around this person, or they're the type of person that kind of negs on you. They're very negative around you, and that makes you more negative. I don't know if it's just my nature, or if it's a human nature thing, But I can definitely speak from experience. When someone starts going real negative or complaining about stuff, mm-hmm. I find myself just like, oh, yeah, totally. That's horrible. I'm so tired of this or that, you know, whatever. Yeah. I totally agree with you. That's terrible. Like, I find myself going, wait a minute. Why did I just get so negative?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, you just get dragged into that. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's like, okay, just focus back on God. Like, this, the scripture right here, it's like, whoever comes to me shall never hunger. Whoever comes to me shall never thirst. You're not going to be trying to fill that hunger, fill that thirst with something else. Mm-hmm. You're going to be filled. You're going to be full. Mm-hmm. And when you're full in this life, joyous. When you're full in this life, you're just a beacon of God's love and mercy, you know? Like,
amen.
And that's just, you have to change your life around. And the reason I keep saying that, our saint of the day, Saint James Aldo, O-L-D-O, he and his wife were very wealthy, very well off. And he had an epiphany in his life where he knew he was living a very frivolous life. Mm. And he needed to change. And so he and his wife became secular Franciscans. And so the Franciscan order, very minimalist. Mm. You know, the brown robes, mm-hmm. and sandals, vow of poverty, vow of obedience to the church. And so they became secular, not a religious order. They didn't take vows or anything like that, but they lived the Franciscan lifestyle. And so he helped support sick in the church. Mm-hmm. He helped support wherever he could, but he got rid of all of his money, got rid of all of his riches. Mm-hmm. And when his wife passed away before him, he became a priest. And he donated his home to the secular Franciscans so mm-hmm. that they had a community. It became a church. It became a chapel for them to worship in. Like, that is changing your lifestyle.
Yeah.
Like, that is... Nope, giving everything up.
Right.
It's crazy, right?
Yeah, yeah, so absolutely.
So St. James Aldo, really taking today's gospel.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, do it, putting God first, you know? At least that's what I got out of the scripture.
Yeah.
What did you get out of
it? I got that too. Yeah, it was pretty straightforward about this of, I am who I say I am.
Yeah, exactly.
I am the messenger, and... It's not just coming from me. It's coming from up there.
And God sent me. And, you know, I'm not here to do what I want to do. I'm here to do what God wants me to do. And, I mean, that was forgive our sins, show us the right way, all those things. So.
Amen.
Amen. All right. You got news of the
weird?
News
of the weird. So this one's actually a pretty good intention. This is in light of prom season coming up. And there's a student in Georgia high school, who is an aspiring funeral director. And she wanted to...
Is it like a family business? Or
I don't know. It's a weird way to make a living. but she wanted to raise awareness about the dangers of drinking and driving after prom. So she showed up to her prom in a casket.
Wait, what? how does one show up to their prom in a casket?
A hearse rolled up instead of a limo, and she had people carry out her casket.
Like pallbearers.
And it was her inside the casket. Shocked a lot of people, and she didn't realize that the video was going to go viral, but it did. And but she's hoping that the message...
Those of you who are listening cannot see my face of disappointment in this person.
But she's hoping that the message came across that, you know, when... You can have a great time, but celebrate responsibly.
So that's what she said her point was?
Yeah. She wanted to raise awareness about drinking and driving, and also that she wants to be an aspiring funeral director, apparently.
I thought it was just for attention.
I bet she got a bunch of likes on Instagram.
But, okay. So she had to organize other people. Like, hey, guys, here's my plan. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show up in a hearse. Not one person goes, What?
Yeah. Oh, I got one.
Yeah,
I got
hers. Wait a minute. That's what I'm saying. This has to be a family business situation.
Yeah, it could be.
Right, so, got a hearse. You know how expensive caskets are, by the way?
Oh, it does say here in the article that she's been working for 2 years at a
mortuary.
Yeah.
It's an unusual prom arrival. This will be her intention.
So she had a connection at work.
She must have lightly used casket.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like it's an open box.
Did you see the bloopers in Talladega Nights where they're going through the endorsements?
Yes, yeah.
Embalming service. Creedy's embalming services. Bodies that look so good, you're going to want to talk to them.
But why is this your plan for prom?
I don't know.
I don't get it. But, yeah, I guess, you know, trying to raise awareness.
If it reached one person, I guess we can't criticize too much.
No. Her friends agreed to carry her in a casket. All right. Be safe out there, this prom season. Yeah.
Be responsible this prom. Otherwise, I might show up at your prom in a casket and try to teach you a lesson.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. As always, shoot us a line, steve@baconsmiles.com. Twitter, Instagram, all those things. Thanks, as always, for listening. I'm Steve Patera.
I'm Sean Mumford.
Keep smiling. God bless.